Subject is the Lord's Prayer. So, Father, I pray that you would be with us this morning and guide our time and our conversation. And Father, it's our prayer, our coming to you is very important to you, and I just pray that it would become more and more important to us as we gather, as we reflect on this teaching, and as we put it into practice in our own lives. So be with us now and guide our time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I don't know how many remember what we talked about last week, but Seth introduced prayer and we talked about some things. Dr. Ferguson brought up, I won't remember all the things that he talked about, but there were several, I think, key things that we talked about as a congregation in terms of things that we might struggle with in prayer or other things, and I think that you're going to find that some of those are addressed this morning as we go through the Lord's Prayer, and we hear how Dr. Ferguson explains it. So follow along on your outlines. I'm going to read it first, starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And then we'll watch the video after I read. Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to read these next two verses too because they're going to come up in the video. So verse 14, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Okay, go ahead and start it, Mike. So last week, Gary brought up something that I think is really important, and he's not here to make him bring it up again. That's what I was going to do, but he's not here. So I'll remind you, he talked about adoption. And Dr. Ferguson just ended, it was a recurring theme throughout the message, but this relationship of father-child, I think that's really, really crucial that we think about that in regard to prayer and in regard to living, because he also brought up that this is not just a pattern for prayer, it's a pattern for life. Seth was kind enough to give me his book to read that he's been reading as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. This is the book by Martin Lloyd-Jones that he talked about back at the beginning of the series. And there are three chapters on the Lord's Prayer in here, so that would be three messages, basically, on the Lord's Prayer that he gave. I want to read a paragraph from that before we start discussing. So, that this is the way to pray, says Christ. Take these two things together. Never separate these two truths. Remember that you are approaching the Almighty, eternal, ever-blessed, holy God. But remember also that God in Christ has become your Father, who not only knows all about you in the sense that he is omniscient, he knows all about you also in the sense that a father knows all about his child. He knows what is good for the child. Put these two things together. God, in his almightiness, is looking at you with a holy love and knows your every need. He hears your every sigh, loves you with an everlasting love. He desires nothing so much as your blessing, your happiness, your joy, and your prosperity. Then remember this, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. As your Father, which is in heaven, he is much more anxious to bless you than you are to be blessed. There is also no limit to his almighty power. He can bless you with all the blessings of heaven. He has put them all in Christ and put you into Christ. So your life can be enriched with all the glory and riches of the grace of God Himself. That is the way to pray. Before you begin to make any petition, before you begin to ask even for your daily bread, before you ask for anything, just realize that you, such as you are in the presence of such a being, your Father, which is in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. My God, my Father. He also says, as he goes through this, that one of the key things that we need to do before we pray is he calls it recollect. This is Martin Lloyd-Jones, he would advocate that we, before we pray, we just think about what I just read, who God is, what he's done, how much he cares for you, that he adopted you as a son, and how much he wants good for you. And then let that frame how you go to prayer when you pray. So those are my comments. So now I'm wanting to hear yours. What did you guys think about what you just heard? There's probably no more familiar passage of Scripture than this. I'm guessing everyone here has this memorized. You've probably all heard multiple messages on the Lord's Prayer. Now you heard Dr. Ferguson for 20 minutes. What are your thoughts or comments? Chris?
So we were talking last week about what's hard for us in prayer sometimes, right. And I was just thinking, the thing that I was thinking last week, which you just addressed basically, is feeling kind of insignificant, or my issues feeling trivial to take before the creator of the universe.
Right.
So I think what you said addresses that well.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Chris. I think we all feel that, right? I mean, there's Psalms that talk about that. And yet, he is so personal, and he does care so much about each one of us. We can't, because we have finite minds, it makes no sense to us. We can't imagine how anyone could potentially do that. How is that possible, right? But all things are possible with God. Lauren?
Yeah, even thinking of Martin Lloyd-Jones saying all of what you just read, certainly there are some who really turn the faith into something that's very man-centered, and a lot of that would resonate easily. Mm-hmm. From that perspective, but Martin Lloyd-Jones is not one of them, that he is so God-centered, God-exalting, and yet he is able to say all of that about the heart of God for his people and the desire of God to bless and all of that. It's all the more striking that that is true even in the context of God is centered on God,
right.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And to flip that, I mean, and that's why the Lord's Prayer, the first half, is about God and His glory, right? And we can participate as part of that and should desire to, right? Because the ultimate end is to glorify God. So we can join in that. We have that opportunity through this adoption, right? Other thoughts or comments anyone wants to make? Eric?
I'd say one of the biggest encouragements, one of many, many, I guess, in my own, for my own prayer life, was hearing this, the story of the prodigal son elaborated on in a church service once, and the pastor that was preaching was saying, you know what, when you're ready to pray, God's always there, you know, no matter how bad a sinner you are, when you turn to him, he's there and he's ready to listen, you know, and it was, you know, because sometimes you'll get down on yourself for your, oh, I sinned again, you know, and you can beat yourself up and like, well, I'm just struggling with this again, but the Lord is always there, ready to hear what you have to say and confess yourself to him, and he freely forgives us when we approach him with the right heart, and it's just been such an encouragement when I heard that message preached. It was a long time ago, but just really elaborated that the Lord's right there. He's always watching for you and just waiting for you to turn to him, and as soon as you turn, he's like running to you, you know, so thank you.
Yeah. That's a good point. Thank you, Eric. Was there any comments about what he said? One thing I thought, just as every time I've listened to this, is I didn't like his term adequate. To me, God is way more than adequate. I don't know if you remember when he said adequate. I don't often find something that I didn't care for, and it's possible because I'm not thinking of adequate in the right way, but he was talking about God was adequate for all our needs. And I like a descriptor that's much bigger than adequate for that. But mostly I liked the images that Dr. Ferguson gave as he went through that. I think they are very important. So there are some discussion questions. So if there's no more comments or thoughts, why don't we look at those? Bill?
You know, so much of this dependence on God is tied up in our attitudes. I liked what he said about, you know, do I really need this? Mm-hmm. There's a place, and I think it's a wide place, between God being the celestial Santa Claus and dependence on God. You know, people have said, well, you know, God doesn't care if you pray, you know, if you need a parking place. You know, you're going around looking for a parking place. Should you really pray to the Lord for a parking place? Well, you know, we live in God's sight all the time, and I think God is honored. I'm not referring to the parking place. I don't know. But I think God is honored whenever we turn to him with a pure heart and a clear conscience. And, you know, I know I've been working or something, and I've asked the Lord to help me do this. Mm-hmm. And I think God is honored by that.
Yeah.
You know, that we show our dependence on him for strength and for knowledge or how to do something, figure it out, you know, that he can help us. And I don't think we should ever come to the place where, you know, well, I don't want to bother God with this. I mean, that's dishonoring. Mm-hmm. You know, we're almost putting limits. Well, he's too busy running the universe to think about, you know, my little thing now. Mm. No, he's actually honored.
Right.
When we depend on him, even for trivialities, as long as it's not, you know, coveting or some sinful motive, it's pretty amazing. Because you know, as a father or grandfather, you know, I know what it's like when a kid or a grandkid, you know, depends on you for something. Mm-hmm. I have an interesting story. A guy related to me, he was from Germany, and he took his son up into a farmer's field or something. This is dependence and trust, mm-hmm, story. And he told his son to wait right here. It was kind of in the edge of this field, and then he kind of left, but he went to a place where he could watch his son, and he wanted to see if his son would trust him.
Yeah.
And he did. And he wanted to teach his son a lesson. He wasn't doing anything weird to abandon him or anything, right, but he wanted to teach his son to trust his word. And I think the Lord is like that too with us. He takes us places where, you know, we need to trust him. And I've always remembered that story, you know.
Right. Listen. Yeah, I think, and so my comment as you were going through was, I can often have that's probably a prideful response, thinking that I can handle this on my own, so I don't need to pray for this. I'm going to pray for something that I don't feel as comfortable with, like teaching Sunday school on Sunday morning. But if it's just you know, something that's easy for me to do, then I can handle it, right? But it's not how I'm supposed to live, right? I should hopefully learn at some point in my life that whatever I do is only because God has given me that ability or capability or whatever to do it. So
you can bring glory to his name.
That this thing's easy for me to do. Right. Christy?
Sean has my son in the Teen Challenge house that he lives in. He has a small group, very small group of people who believe in the sovereignty of God. And every time I spend any time with this group, I am reminded that they're kind of going with what Bill said. There's honoring God in the trivialities. Like, they were serving lunch at one point, and one of the guys didn't have the topping that he wanted for his sandwich, and one of his friends was like, "You know what, Carlos? God is sovereign over the choices of mayo in this lunch." And mm-hmm, like, they didn't say it as a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how they operate and live, because mm-hmm, that's just what they do. You know, they believe that God is sovereign over every little thing. And I think praying for every little thing, mm-hmm, is a form of trusting God and honoring him as the person who is sovereign over everything down to what condiments are on the table. Right. It sounds silly, but I do think it honors God.
Yeah, and there's an element there of, and Bill was starting to address this, but he will provide all that we need, not necessarily all that we want, right? And so where do we get to the point where our wants align with what he's going to provide, so that we're not wanting things that are outside of his will, or have too strong desires for things that are outside of his will for us? So, Carol?
I guess the verse that comes to mind is pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you can pray that you'll have mayo for your sandwich, or that God will give you a parking spot or whatever, but I think ultimately it's, God, give me the parking spot that I should have. And not give me that best one or the one that I have my eye on, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's really asking him to give you what he knows is best for you.
Exactly.
And trusting that even in the really little things.
Exactly, yes. Was there another, nobody had their hand up over here too? Okay. Okay, look, with Lene.
It just made me think of the verse in Philippians that where Paul talks about, I've learned to be content in all things. I think when we do go to him in honest prayer and bear our hearts before the Lord and the big things and the little things and our dependence upon him, it teaches us more and more to be content in his sovereignty, so that when we do go to him in prayer and that next time, it's not that we wouldn't be asking for these things that we think we need or whatever, but that we more come to a surrendered prayer before him because we've learned to be content. And
right.
I think a huge part of that is when we bare our hearts to him in prayer, and
yeah.
he more and more aligns us to be content with him.
So. Yeah, you can, or as you were saying that, I was thinking about the way Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, right? Where he knew what he was faced with and he was willing to do it, but he still asked that if there was another way that he wouldn't have to, right? And Jesus is our example throughout. Instead of these questions, one other one I wanted to ask was, what is it that is helpful for you when you go to prayer? What do you like to think about first that helps get you in the right frame of mind? Is it a psalm? Is it a song? Is it, what, does anybody have something that they would share that they like to do first before they start to pray? Bill?
I like to be reminded that the reason that I'm able to pray and to approach the Lord is because of what Christ has done. Not that I have any right, inherent right, or have endeared myself mm-hmm. to God on my own merits.
Right.
But that what Christ has done has enabled me to come before the throne of grace
right.
as a child of God, and that I can come with confidence
right.
and boldness, as
right.
King James I think
yep.
says, not presumptuously.
Mm-hmm.
But with confidence before God.
Okay, thank you. That's good. Other thoughts? Yeah.
In the beginning of my life as a believer, I was surrounded by people who really, really, really wanted more than anything to seek the Lord's presence in prayer and use God's word in prayer. And these were people who, like, I mean, it wasn't only the Psalms, but one of the ones that really remind me that even though, like, I may think that God doesn't hear, I turn to, like, Psalm 65, because it's like, it says, praises due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall bowels be reformed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. And, I mean, since it just reminds me that God does hear prayer, and God does act in our behalf. So, yeah.
Thank you. That's good. Okay, we've already talked about a number of these, but did so we went through this. We already talked about how and why the Lord's Prayer changes what we ask for. He discussed this a bit. Why do we pray your kingdom come if the kingdom has already come in the person of Jesus Christ? Anybody, I don't know if that's on your outline. You remember what he talked about? Bill?
Okay. If I remember right, wasn't he saying that it has come in us, but it hasn't come like worldwide, like everyone hasn't received him yet?
Correct. Yeah. That's what I heard. I don't recall. Did you have another comment, Bill, or essentially that? Right. In the book by Martin Lloyd Jones, he talked about it as a progressive thing, and that the final act will be when Jesus comes again and his kingdom comes to earth. Right, so when we are praying that, we are thinking we have been adopted in to the kingdom, so we are already in the kingdom. Those that are trusting in Jesus, the kingdom is progressing in the world now. As we're spreading the gospel, but it will come in its fullness at a later time, and so we're actually sort of praying for all these things, which, go ahead, Bill. And that reminds me that one of the other points that was in the book was that the prayer is, he called it a skeleton. So Martin Lloyd Jones, when he was talking about it through these chapters, was saying that all the essential elements of prayer are in this very short five verses. Right? We are to flesh it out, fill it out with more things, but they would all be in alignment with or as part of these basic petitions. There's six petitions in this prayer, and they are complete. It's, you know, it's Jesus' teaching, so Jesus' teaching is going to be complete, even though it's only five verses or six verses. So think of it in that sense as well, that this is, I don't know what the right word for, I don't know if I like the term skeleton, but what he was talking about was a skeleton in the sense that then you're going to be putting flesh and whatever and adding things to it, but not essential things. The essentials are already covered here. Bill?
I think it's difficult for us, it shouldn't be, but maybe it's because we have so much. There seems to be a lack of a desire to see Christ come. You know, they always talk about young people, well, I want Jesus to come, but after I get married, after I get my driver's license, after, you know, this, that, you know. But we're often the same way. We don't have the kingdom thinking in that sense. I mean, Do you every day wake up? Do we every day wake up? I don't, but do we every day wake up thinking, well, maybe today Jesus will come?
Yeah.
And it seems to me there's not many messages about it, not much thinking about it. But this kind of desire, thy kingdom come, keeps us, gives us perspective on this world and the temporal nature of it, holding our things lightly.
Yeah.
You know, helps us to pray, you know, thinking, well, do I really need this?
Right.
Or do I just want this because I'm so involved with the things of this world? And do I really want Jesus to come?
Right.
Or am I pretty comfortable here?
Yeah.
And I like that. You know, I know in my life I'm trying to cultivate, you know, that, you know, do I really love Jesus and want to be with him?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or am I kind of comfortable here?
Right.
And when he comes, and if I die, I die, you know, anyway. But do I really want to be with him?
So you bring up a very good illustration of one of the things that we can do is, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, we can say, am I really aligned with this?
Yeah.
Right? This is Christ's teaching of how we should pray and how we should live, and how am I lining up? Right? So thank you for bringing that up, Bill. Well, we have about a minute to go. Is there any final comment? Or, over there in the... Sarah?
I don't want to be the one to say the final comment, but I just along the lines of this, let your kingdom come, or asking for his kingdom to come, I think that, at least I'll say for myself, that I pray it for myself at times, and sometimes for other followers of Christ too, that it come in greater fullness in my life.
Yeah.
Because I'm not necessarily submitting to his lordship in every area, and so I feel that this idea of even a king is not something that's real, you know, understandable to me living in this country.
Right.
And what that really means to surrender is to Jesus as Lord. And so I think that's kind of a way to pray it as well.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. Okay. So, since this has been a message on, or a Sunday school on the Lord's Prayer, and we've already established that we all have memorized it, let's pray it together to close the session, okay? So I'll start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.